Bless you. Thank you, worship band, Gary and your team. Thank you, sound. Lovely to have Sue on the vision as well. Well done. You're doing well. Been a wonderful morning, hasn't it? Amen. Who really knows the Lord's been here by his Spirit? Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just pray, because I believe the Lord has brought me a word to share this morning that will continue the flow of the morning. So let's pray. Father, by the power of your Spirit, I pray you would guide, lead, and direct me, that the words I speak this morning are your words, not my words. Anything that I had thought in my heart to say that isn't what you want, Lord, may it just be lost. So, Father, touch each one of us by your Spirit this morning, that we may hear and respond to your word, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
Amen.
Well, you're going to be amazed, because I believe the Lord wants us to learn this morning how to take the lid off your thinking. Well, you're all looking at me a bit blank, as if to say, how does that tie up with the morning? Well, I believe the Lord wants to say to you and to me this morning, it's time to change your thought process. Time to look and think, were my preconceived ideas and thoughts in my Christian walk exactly as God would like them to be? Or does he want me to change, just tweak things a bit? Because there is so much more. What you think you know today, believe you me, tomorrow you and I will know more. Because God is revealing by his Spirit. The gospel doesn't change, but God reveals to each one of us by his Holy Spirit how he wants to move you and me on. He wants you and I to learn how to live and walk in faith and not fear. Who'd like to do that more? Everybody would. He'd like us to learn how to live and walk in peace, not anxiety or turmoil. Who'd like to do that more? Yeah, every hand should be up for this, because we all struggle at times. And if you say you don't, you're telling some porkies, all right? And he wants us to learn to live and learn how to walk in victory and not defeat. Who'd like that every time? Every time you pray, you'd like victory. Every hand should be up. But more than that, he wants you and I to learn how to be a victor and not a victim. How many times does it cloud over and you say, oh, but I can't. I just don't feel right. I just don't want to do this. And God's saying to you and to I today, come on, Christian. This is the time in history when I want you to be victors and not victims. So please, don't feel uncomfortable about this morning, because I do believe this is a transition from what God's been doing this morning. But he wants you and I to be excited. He wants you and I to be enthusiastic as we understand and learn more about him, his ways, his word this morning. Are you up for it?
Yes.
Yeah, good. Because turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to John 9. Quite a lot of reading this morning, but I think that it will be a blessing to us this in John 9. Okay? And while you're getting there, see, each of us tend to carry in our hearts and our minds and our brains our experiences of our yesterdays. Would you agree? But it's always been like that. He's always talked to me like that. I've always thought this. Well, God's saying to you today and to me, it might not always be what he wants us to think and believe and to see and to feel. Because we carry our experiences of our yesterdays, some successful, some not, some painful, some joyous, and we carry them through our lives. And they tend to influence our choices and our behavior. So as we read this, we're going to read John 9, verse 1 down to 41. So it's quite a bit of reading. But I want you to actually look at it and say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Not what is he saying to the person sitting next door. What is he saying to me? Put yourself in the place of the man who is blind. So, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I, that's Jesus, am in the world, I, Jesus, am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. How would you feel if you were the man? You've never seen anything, but you heard this man spit, and then you felt this on your eyes. Yuck. Why did Jesus spit? Let me tell you why Jesus used his saliva. Because it was believed in those days by the Jews that the oldest son of a Jewish family, his saliva had healing properties. So why would Jesus do this? He did it to show to the Jewish people that he was the Son of God and the Son of Man. But they didn't get it. They didn't get it. Verse 7, "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. And the pool of Siloam was pure water. It was a spring. It came from Hezekiah's tunnel, which was built under the wall of Jerusalem and came into Jerusalem. So there's always this pure, fresh water. So we don't know where he was actually sent from, but he could have been walking quite a way with this mud on his eyes, couldn't he? How would you feel? So the man went and washed, came home seeing. Hallelujah. Well, look at this, verse 8. His neighbors and those who'd formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, no, he only looks like him. Don't we always make excuses? But the man himself insisted, "I am the man." "Well, how then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." I mean, this is amazing. He'd never seen the sky. He'd never seen the soil. He'd never seen people. But he could see, and he's starting to get enthusiastic. "Well, where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know." You can hear it, can't you? "I don't know, but I can see." Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Well, you can imagine he was a bit in awe of the Pharisees, the religious people of the day. And it had to be on the Sabbath Jesus had done this, when nothing was supposed to be done. Uh-oh, we got trouble coming, haven't we? So the man just says, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." Simple. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." Others asked, "Well, how can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you got to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He's a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight. It's amazing how people don't believe. They sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that he can now see?" Well, you think they'd be jumping up and down with excitement, but they're not. "We know he's our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. How he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him." What a cop-out. "Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid, fear of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." They didn't want the responsibility. 24, a second time, they summoned the man who'd been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." The man replied, "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Can't you get it?" he's almost saying to them. Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" They're trying to get him to twist the truth. Well, he gets a little bit huffy, doesn't he? Look, verse 27, he answered, "I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Well, I mean, that was red rag to a bull to say that. Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man is really getting frustrated now, and he answers. Now, that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody's ever heard of a man opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this, you can imagine them getting real huffy. They replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Well, you think that's the end of that, don't you? But it isn't. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me so I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Wow. Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment, I have come into the world so the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." This man must have suffered much. Think about it. You've all been putting yourself in the place of the man. He must have suffered inner hurt, inner pain, rejection, turmoil, anxiety, fear, no money, what would happen to him, where was he going to get food, where could he beg where there were no other beggars. In addition to all this, he was a victim of his own circumstances. He lived in what he experienced. He knew nothing else. There was no social security in those days. He knew nothing else. And look at his parents. They weren't a lot of good to him. He carried his life's experiences with him and in him. Well, it can't get much worse than that, can it? So if it can't get much worse than that for you and me, we can get through things too, because he did. So what is this passage teaching you and I today? There's three points I want to bring out. This is the first point, and I think this is something that we really need to grab and take on board, that we can increase and walk in faith and not in sight. Because the spiritual realm is wonderful, but we're seeing from the physical realm, and God wants you and I to have a greater understanding. So what is it teaching us? Firstly, the man responded. He responded to Jesus. He was obedient to Jesus. He trusted Jesus. Now, if you remember when I read that to you, I said, would you and I have trusted Jesus to spit, mix mud, and put it on your eyes when you'd never seen? Think about it. He responded, he was obedient, and he trusted. So we learn from this passage, the word of God, which Jesus spoke, changes things. Folks, this is the word of God. It's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It works. It's worked in my life, and I'm sure it's worked in your life. Blessings, even when we do not understand it or it doesn't make sense, will happen when we respond, obedient, and trust the word of God. Amen. He received the word, and the miraculous followed in his life. I expect we all need miracles from time to time for whatever. But this is the word, and with the word and the spirit, we've got dynamite. We don't know how miracles happen, and we don't have to, but we know they do because the word tells us so. So also, I want to bring something else that this man really showed us that we can take on board. His attitude. Ooh. How many times do we have attitudes that really aren't honoring to God? I know I'm not the only one. Come on, own up. God wants our attitudes to be right. So we respond, we obey, we trust the word of God to receive the blessings, and our attitudes have to be right, even when we don't expect it to be as we would like it to be. Second point, boldness for Christ. Did you notice how bold that man got? He stood up to the Pharisees. Do you want to become his disciples too? I mean, he was pretty bold, wasn't he? In other words, you've asked me two or three times on the evidence. Don't you believe it? No, they didn't believe it. He was no longer fearful. He ignored criticism. He ignored the fact he was thrown out. He coped and found Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Lord of lords and King of kings. Is he Lord of your life? Is he King of Kings in your life and mine? Yes. What about his parents, on the other hand? They had an opportunity to change. I think all of you who are parents would have said, that's my boy. My boy's been healed. It's wonderful. You'd be jumping up and down with excitement. Fear made them make the wrong choice. They had an opportunity, but they missed it. They rejected it. So how many times do you and I miss opportunities? Miss because of whatever. Anxiety, fear, embarrassment, whatever. And God is saying to you and to me today, come on, be bold for me. We're moving into a time when I want you to be bold for me, child of God. Third point, witness. That man was changed from the inside out. He spoke freely of his experiences to everyone. He'd responded to Jesus' words. He had a good attitude. He'd been obedient. We've heard all that. Bold for Christ. He walked in faith. He witnessed for Christ. But then, do you notice at the very end, he entered into a new covenant relationship with Jesus. Folks, you and I have as well. If you've asked Jesus into your heart, you've received the Holy Spirit, you are in a new covenant relationship with God. All the promises and blessings in this word of God are for you and for me. Receive it. Respond, obey, trust. Don't be smothered by your thoughts and your feelings. Don't be smothered by your experiences, your circumstances. Ray, could I ask you to put that first picture up, please? I've shown this before in 2007, because it was 2007 I took these photographs, and it blessed a lot of people and it helped a lot of people. But in 2007, we were on a walking holiday with Lynn and Mike in Austria, and we'd just arrived in September. Now, I want you to take careful note, there's two farm buildings down there, and that's the view from our bedroom window. And it's covered in mist, fog, snow, oppression. You can't see a thing. And it's like that with you and me when we allow our circumstances to overwhelm us, whatever our circumstances might be. The word tells us we're a new creation in Christ. The supernatural is for each one of us who love the Lord Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The clouds and the weather hid the truth. Now see the truth in 3 days' time, please, Ray. farm buildings are still there. Look, it's the same picture. The hotel had put flowers on the balcony because the sun had come out and the snow wouldn't ruin them any longer. But look what you can see. You can see the mountains in the far distance. You can see the sky opened up. You can see the scenery. You can see everything. It's like that in the spiritual realm. There's more. There's more than what you can see with your physical eyes. And God wants you and I to open up our spiritual eyes and take the lid off our thinking. The man who was blind did it. See, Jesus died. Thank you so much, Ray and Sue. Thank you. Jesus died to save you and I from sin and death. He wanted to bring us back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. You've heard this morning how much your Heavenly Father loves you and loves me. From what we've already heard from the Lord this morning. It's awesome. Do we really get it? Come on, church, let's get it deep down in the sump of our spirit today. Salvation that Jesus bought and paid for on the cross. Forgiveness for your sins. The yesterday's sins, the day's today's sins. And guess what? It's tomorrow's sins as well. Not habitual sin that you carry on with. We're saved by grace. But with forgiveness of sins, healing for our bodies and our minds. I want to see, we have wonderful healings in this church. We've had amazing healings in this church. But I want to see more. I want to see more, don't you? Yeah. I want to see that everybody we lay hands on or anybody lays hands on is healed by the power of the Lord. Yeah. Don't you? Yeah. Prosperity for every single one of us. Please don't just think pound signs. That's only one part of the pie. It's in every area of your life. Are you concerned about the kids? Are you concerned about them going to school? Are you concerned that they're getting into wrong company? Are you concerned about your job? Are you concerned about your finances? Are you concerned about your husband? Are you concerned about your wife, your child, your parent, your whatever? God wants you to prosper in every area of your and my life. I want to walk in it. He wants us to. We're moving into a time on the earth when you and I need to be walking in everything that God's got for us, not being apathetic and saying, let somebody else do it. Amen? Amen. When Jesus walked this earth, healings were not occasional but continuous. And he wants you and I to follow through and do likewise. Amen. You know, I've prayed for many, many people. I've seen amazing healings throughout the world, wherever we've been, rubbish dumps, mental homes, jails, all sorts. But I've also seen people not healed. I've prayed for people in this church who've been healed, and I've prayed for people in this church who are not yet healed. But I still pray in faith. I don't think, I don't know. If the blind man had said, when Jesus put the spit on his eyes with the mud, I don't know if this is going to work. This seems a bit daft to me. Would he have been healed? No. I need to keep walking and walking and walking and praying for people, and so do you, to see the miraculous happen more, because God wants it to in these last days. Amen? So, how do we get there? Because it starts with you and me. It's don't look at your problems, because then we start to lose our faith. Would you agree? Yeah? Look at the answers. Speak the answers. God's answers. That's the answers I'm going by. I don't take notice of specialist reports. Sorry, we've got consultants in the church. But they're wonderful Christian consultants, and I praise God for that. But I also know that there is a supernatural power as well. And when I can't make that happen in my life or Terry's life, I need a doctor. I need a consultant. Praise God for them. But our first port of call ought to always be God. Would you all agree? Yeah, well, some of you do, and some of you are looking at me as if I'm a bit strange. But you're then saying, well, yes, but that doesn't always happen like that. Well, it doesn't, because we're in a fallen world. It doesn't. There's many things that I've prayed for that haven't happened. But our minds are like a garden. Get your mind under control. Get my mind under control. All of us who go and potter in the garden at times know if you do a little bit of weeding one day, it doesn't show much, does it? But if you went out there and weeded every day, you'd see a lot of difference in your garden. gardeners. Is that correct? Yeah, okay. So if you and I start to soak ourselves in the Word of God a little bit every day, guess what? We're going to change this thinker up here to line up with the Word of God. Are you going to do it? Because I can't do it for you. It's our decision. It's our decision to read the Word daily. And I actually wrote this down. It's something Terry gave me many years ago, and I've always kept it in my Bible. The fact is, ignoring the daily reading of your Bible will affect your ability to be spiritually productive and eventually make you spiritually infertile. And boy, that's in my Bible, in his handwriting. And I share it with you because that hit me many years ago. And I pray it will hit you. It's Jesus who saves us. It's Jesus who heals us by the power of his Spirit. It's Jesus who restores us. It's Jesus who provides for us by the power of his Spirit. We're his children. And he loves us. And he wants the best for us. So we need to walk by the Word and the Spirit. You know, at the beginning of Mark 2, I'll just share this because I think this will encourage us. Some friends bring a paralyzed man to Jesus and he's on a stretcher bed. And the crowds around Jesus so much, he's in a house, they can't get in. You all know the story, I'm sure. So the friends sort of scratch their head and they decide, what are we going to do? Well, the houses aren't like ours with tiled roofs. They went up on the roof and they took the roof off and lowered him down on the stretcher, right in front of Jesus. Jesus, seeing their extraordinary faith, think of the word extraordinary, extraordinary. Will you and I have extraordinary faith? Seeing their extraordinary faith, said to the man, his sins are forgiven and you're healed. Well, that's what I want for people. I want to see people saved, healed, set free, walking in the fullness of God, don't you? Friends, neighbours, family. We had an incredible bowling night the other night. We had such fun. And if you weren't there, you missed something incredible because several people were sitting watching and they were the cheerleaders. And yes, I think some of them did laugh and cheer when I actually toppled over. I was trying so hard to get the stance right that they kept telling me, do this, do that, do the other, that I was so low on the floor, I hadn't got another leg to put out and I overbalanced. I think I got, did I get a strike or a half strike? I know anyway, it was worth it. But we had fun. Bring your non-Christian friends to church events. Bring your non-Christian friends to your life group events. They lighten up, they like it. They love a barbecue. They love a nice supper, do it. That's what we put these things on for. What about Jay John? You've just been hearing Trevor say about it. Saturday, July the 8th, the Emirates Football Stadium, Arsenal's football stadium. There'll be so many people there, you've never seen as many people, and we know the tickets are going to sell out. Make sure you bring, it's called Just One, because bring just one. Bring two, bring three, but we've called it Just One. And the church, we want to see people saved, healed, and set free. Who wants to see more chairs in here? Full. Well, bring somebody to those things. We want people to find the Lord through whatever will relate to them. Yes? Amen. In this little bit of time on earth, our decisions we make not only determine my future and your future, but the future and destiny of your family and friends. Come on, folks, let's do it. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll go right back to where we started, the blind man. He allowed his mind to be receptive to Jesus. And he responded, he was obedient, he trusted, he had a good attitude, even when it was yucky. Yes, and he immediately started to be bold for Jesus. He hadn't been to theological seminary or anything like that. He just knew he'd been healed and he found Jesus. He started to witness. If you're a brand new Christian, you can witness to your family and your friends Just love them into the kingdom. You're not trying to shove the Bible down their throat. It doesn't fit. So anyway, would you stand with me, please? There's something in this talk that the Lord's given us this morning for every single one of us. If you're not a Christian this morning, you're here for a reason. God wants you to open up your heart and receive him into your heart. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit this morning, God wants you to open up your heart and ask him by his Holy Spirit to come in and fill you. Because you can't do any of this on your own. We fall flat on our faces. Yes. Maybe you need another touch from the Lord. Maybe you know you slipped up. Maybe you want to grow in some of the things I've been sharing this morning. Maybe you even just want to start to read that word more and trust God more. Whatever. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've heard your word. I pray I've communicated what you wanted me to share with each one of us. I pray, Lord, that we grow in our love and our understanding of what you want each one of us to do in this hurting, needy world. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you love each and every one of us. And Lord, thank you. We are your children. Touch hearts now. Touch hearts this very moment. Maybe people are sick. Yes, we had prayer for healing earlier on. But maybe people were nervous and didn't come forward. Maybe people have got financial problems. Maybe people have got work problems. Family problems. Lord, touch their hearts now. Thank you, Lord. We give it all to you, Lord. We give it all to you. Guide us and lead us, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.